The idiot daughter eventually bought a party barge. She bought multiple.
I had to Google what that was.
Multiple party barges.
Did you know what that was?
Yes. Is that just a gay thing? Do I just know about it because gay?
I was like, what are those two words together? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, that thing.
But the thing never, that gays go on.
For
oh, yeah,
some
yeah, yeah,
reason,
yeah.
I was like, that's, oh, yeah, that's what it's called, I guess.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, did you know that we have a TCO book club that has like 400 members plus?
I didn't know that.
It's wild. It's moderated by Sash. They meet once a month. But if you can't make it to the meeting, like it's all in the chat. It's in the Discord. It's in the Facebook group. It is a thriving, thriving community. Now, if you want to join the book club, all you got to do is go to the Facebook group. There's a featured post where you just fill out a quick thing. It takes maybe 20 seconds. And then that's it. You're in the club. Sash will either text or email you all the info.
And everyone's like voting on the books. It's a major group effort.
Yeah, people love it. It's a really great, really fun, really new thing that we're doing, and I'm obsessed.
Fun. We also have a Patreon.
Tell us everything.
We have a Patreon. It's where we do all of our bonus episodes. So we do all of like the long form series. So we're doing like Fox Hollow Murders right now. We're going to do A Body in the Snow about the first Karen Reed trial.
Yeah, I was thinking today, I cannot wait to do the Karen Reed thing with you.
I mean, the Karen Reed trial is playing in my apartment 24 hours a day, it feels like.
I feel like we need Natalie Grillo as like a special guest.
We need
at some
Nina,
point.
Her mother Nina.
Because she's from Massachusetts, as am I. If you're from Massachusetts, it is like the only thing that's happening in your life right now.
Are you watching the trial?
I'm not.
That
I'm not. But everybody in my family is. I know. It's the whole thing is crazy. But we have 450 full ad-free bonus episodes over there on the Patreon. We also have a tier where we send you stuff in the mail sometimes. Like at Christmas, you get the calendar.
Yeah.
And at Pride Month, we're about to send out our big Pride gift that we send out every year. It's really awesome. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah. We do fun things. We do like old school Unsolved Mysteries episodes too.
They do get their own episodes. We've done episodes about the Loch Ness Monster.
We're
and
doing
Bigfoot.
One about that guy, Tyler, who definitely faked amnesia. It's like crazy.
Anyway, fam, it's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed. You can just tap the link in the show notes here if you'd like. Girl, what are we talking about today?
Southern Fried Lies. This is on Peacock and Oxygen.
I've never seen a case like this. Money laundering, aggravated identity theft, wire fraud, let alone potential murder.
What a story it was. I mean, it was so twisted.
Y'all don't make me look like no hit.
I had never heard a bad word about Donna Herring until...
Matthew Seth Jacobs was probably the richest guy in Camden. And everyone knew it. Matthew's estate was about $2 million.
And bless his heart, he didn't know who to trust and where to turn.
Now, I gotta say, this is pretty well made.
Yeah. Now, look.
Okay.
Donna Herring, she's like the star of this thing. She sucks.
Yeah.
The first words uttered in this documentary.
I know.
Quote,
I don't no more believe in the Me Too movement than my butt has beat anorexia. And that's just my opinion. Everybody don't be sending me hate mail. Are we going to get an Oscar? That's what I want to know.
Then she asks if she's going to win an Oscar. I don't know if this is your intention, Oxygen, but I instantly hate this person.
I know.
So good job,
but
I guess.
She's a terrible, terrible person.
I mean, we got misogyny and fatphobia literally within the first 5 seconds.
I know.
What are we doing here?
But I think maybe that Oxygen is telling us exactly who this person is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm just like, oh, it's going to be a long 90 minutes.
I know. I gotta say, it is, and it's polarizing, but it's refreshing to like watch a really, like, it was a solidly made documentary.
Yeah, and it was a cool 90 minutes and not 8 episodes.
Oh, totally.
Which is very helpful.
Although towards like the last 10 minutes, it did start to feel like it was 8 hours long.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? So it's broken up into 3 parts. Part one is called A Mysterious Death. And this concerns the death of a man named Matt Jacobs on January 19th, 2015.
Yeah, we're in Camden, Arkansas, where this woman, Donna, describes it as dog shit dumb. And I'm like, this is coming from the woman who doesn't believe women, but okay.
I know.
A lot of judgment coming from Donna when she's like the worst person in this documentary by far.
She legit doesn't believe in Me Too. Is that what she said?
I don't more believe in the Me Too movement than my butt has beat anorexia. Like she's being self-deprecating about herself.
Right.
But she's dragging it. She needs everyone to know that she doesn't believe in the Me Too movement.
Wild. Idiots. Everybody's an idiot.
Yeah. So,
except for Lance Reed. Lance is here. Lance is Matt's brother.
Me and Matt like to hunt together and fish, spend a lot of time on the water together. Family time.
Tell me what these two words mean. Hunting and fishing.
It's outside. It doesn't concern you. What's It's interesting, though, because Lance says that they spent a lot of family time together.
Yeah.
And this is 2 seconds after Donna says Matt was, quote, taken in by her family.
Right.
And was there, like, he didn't move in, but he was there constantly.
I know.
And then we have his brother being like, no, we were great with our own family.
And this is the thing that's so frustrating when the victim is not here to set the record straight.
I know.
Because it's like, Matt had a great relationship with his family. He was going through a little bit of stuff with his son, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But, like, he had a really good family. And, like, Donna is, they do this thing where they come in and out of every ad break with Donna going on and on and on and on and on about how close her and Matt were.
Yeah, total unreliable narrator.
Yes.
And also, there are these people talking about the situation at the local salon. Oh, did you catch the name of it?
No.
Head Games.
No.
Head Games Salon down in Camden, Arkansas.
That's good. Travel. Girl, Rocket Money is back. You know we love her. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Yeah, my favorite part about it, not only like everything you just mentioned,
right.
You can see all of your subscriptions in one place.
Yes.
That's how you can really look at your budget.
Yep.
Because you're like, oh, I forgot I had this thing, or this thing isn't really worth it, I'm not really using it, and that's how you grow your savings.
Because we all know that we sign up for that thing for the 1 week free trial. We forget that we have it. They count on it. They make it hard to do. They make it hard to cancel. That's where Rocket Money comes in. And Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills, fam.
I mean,
so they will automatically scan your bills to find opportunities to save, and then you can ask them to negotiate for you. They will deal with the customer service so that you do not have to.
Invaluable.
Invaluable. I'm obsessed.
They also have this new feature, the goals feature. So it automatically saves money for you. You don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
It helps pay off bills, put money away for a house, or just build your savings, which is incredibly important.
Wow. Fam, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, probably just for me alone,
right.
Saving members up to $740 a year when they're using all of the app's premium features.
It's unbelievable.
Where was this all of my life?
Right?
You know?
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money.
Yeah, go to rocketmoney.com/obsessed today.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
Which we are, if we haven't been perfectly clear.
Absolutely are.
So Jordan Jacobs is Matt's son.
Yeah.
Matt had Jordan when Matt was 17 years old, and they got divorced when Jordan was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So Jordan really missed having Matt, his father, around because he was living with his mother.
Yes. And there was stuff going on with Jordan and Matt when Matt died. We'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
Donna, the horrible woman, is saying that
Matt grew up crazy about his mama. And when she died, that broke his heart. He would say, I appreciate that. You treat me like my mom did. You're like a mom to me. He just wanted somewhere to come and eat Sunday dinner, somewhere to come and have that family atmosphere.
He was looking for a place to, quote, like, come and have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, like a mother figure, says Donna.
Says Donna.
So Matt was a very hard worker. He worked on oil rigs, which is a very tough job.
Oh, my God. That's the kind of thing where you go away for, like, weeks at a time, right? My friend Shasta, her one-time boyfriend, did that job.
Wow.
Yeah, he would be gone for, like, 3 weeks. And it's really fucking dangerous,
as Jordan,
we're going to see.
And Jordan, Matt's son, was, like, super inspired by his dad. He really looked up to him that he had this job.
It's very high-paying.
So April 20th, 2010... is when the Deepwater Horizon oil spill happens.
Yes.
It is the biggest oil spill in American history. 11 people died. It was a major big explosion. Matt was there.
Somehow not everybody there died, which I don't understand, but 11 people died. Matt like took a big fall during the evacuation and really messed up his hip. And that's going to kind of like fuck him up for the rest of his life.
And he also had PTSD from just surviving something like this. I mean, Matt was on the news talking about it when it happened.
And it's Jordan, his son, is just saying like it went from being like my dad was so much fun to be around to all of a sudden you didn't want to be in the same room with him because he was heavily medicated. He's dealing with his PTSD and his mental health struggles. And anytime you were around him, you just kind of felt like you were bothering him.
Yeah, like he preferred being alone. He was sort of isolating. So there's a class action lawsuit and Matt gets $1.7 million in this lawsuit.
Like, holy shit.
And Jordan's like, I got to tell you, like, that made him happy.
Oh my
God.
Of course.
But people were also taking advantage of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, once that happens, he became the richest guy in town.
That was a pretty big topic about how much money he had gained from the settlement and decided he wanted to get a house. He went to Century 21.
And that's where he met.
And that's where he met Donna.
And this is where he meets Donna.
Did you know that you inadvertently quoted It's a Wonderful Life, which is my favorite toast of all time?
No.
When George Bailey's brother says to my big brother George, the richest man in town, meaning like, because he's rich with like
rich with love.
Oh, it's so good. But at my aunt's wedding, because she loves that movie, her her now husband, his best man, gave that was his best man speech.
Oh.
To my kid brother, Mike, the richest man in town.
That's
very sweet. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's really cute.
I love it.
I was once at a wedding where the maid of honor said, and I quote, during her toast, they were twins. And she said of her sister, 33 years ago, Jesus sent a beautiful baby into this family. Me.
And then my sister came 2 minutes later because you know twins really care about when
it
they
was,
were born.
It was at a winery. It was a Catholic wedding and I spit wine all over the table.
Fun.
It was so funny.
Did everyone else laugh?
Yeah,
was it
everyone
a big
laughed.
Laugh line?
Oh, yeah.
Including the bride?
Well, the bride laughed, but the sister was pretty hammered. So I didn't know when the night was young. So
yeah.
I did not know
when. No one knew what was coming. This is just the beginning. Off to a roaring start.
I did fall asleep out in the vineyard like at midnight. They did have to wake me. They did have to go, quote, looking for me.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wow. Sounds like a hell of a wedding. So, yeah, May 2012, Matt wants to buy a house with his money, and
yes.
That's where he meets Donna. Now, Donna, like, interjects.
Because we hear everybody, like, we learn that Matt wants to buy a house, and then we cut back to the salon where everybody's talking about Donna.
Head games.
And I was like, Donna does not like that people are talking about her, except that she also loves it.
I mean, it's why she's here.
Right.
Let's
no
be way. Honest.
When
Donna, like, get real.
Donna, hi, I know you're the villain in this story, but would you like to be the star of the documentary? Yes, please.
Yeah, she can't wait.
But
Donna is here to like let everyone know.
I did not sell him that house. Carolyn Avant sold him that house. He came in and he needed one piece of paper to be signed. And I met him then for 2 minutes. Congratulations. I'm proud for you. Welcome to the neighborhood.
He came in to sign a piece of paper and that's it. And I'm like, right, but then you're going to Matt's house and bringing him food all the time?
Right.
Like, you're obsessed with him.
I mean, look, if you're the real estate agent, it makes sense you're trying to be friends with the richest guy in town. You know what I mean?
I guess, but
I know.
Like, back off.
I know. I would like
She's it. So overbearing and weird.
I want to point out that anybody is welcome to bring me food at any time.
I think she always wanted to be, like, one of those toxic boy moms. Not all boy moms. I'm just saying. She's the type.
Uh-huh. But, like, we're going to learn. Donna has done a very good job at befriending every important person in town.
Well.
And suddenly Matt's one of those people because he's got so much money.
Right.
You know?
So Donna explains that she met her first husband at a bar, and she says that he didn't understand that he couldn't keep dating once they were married.
Right.
So
she says that with a chuckle, so yeah. I don't know, maybe things are okay between them.
I mean, well, they, like, break up eventually, but before that, they had a daughter, Alex, who
yeah.
apparently was sleeping in Donna's bed until she was, like, 11 or 12 years old.
Now, I understand that impulse. I would never allow it, but, like, I loved Daisy sleeping in bed with us.
Really?
I really did.
But after, like, I would think as a kid, like, once you hit 11, you're like, that's when you're, like, a fully formed person.
11 is too old.
Like, my God.
Daisy is exactly 11 now. And,
yeah.
like, she would never sleep in bed with us all night. But, like, we would go to bed and do stories. And then, like, she'd fall asleep with us. And then I would, like, bring her into her room later. And parents, if I may, I'm not one to give advice about parenting. But I will say fight that urge. Because getting them to actually go to sleep on their own becomes a real challenge. Because when she got to be, like, 7 and 8 and it's like, okay, girl, time to go to bed. It was, like, like, she just wanted this. Because she'd been, like, trained to sleep in bed with us.
Oh, man.
But last night, you and I had a late night out, and I didn't get to say goodnight. So this morning, I did go scoop her out of her bed and have her come snuggle with me for
a little while.
This is now a parenting podcast.
Well, I'm sure Alex was mortified that her mother said this on Peacock and Oxygen.
I know.
But Doug, the new husband, the current husband, put an end to all that.
Yes.
Because I guess he was sleeping in the bed, and there was no room for Alex.
No, at the mention of Doug, the new husband's name, Doug apparently walks into the room. Like, he walks into the room where the recording is being done. Everybody completely unprofessionally starts saying hello to him.
Yeah.
Mid-interview.
And then we get the on-screen text. Doug declined to participate in this film. So Matt, our victim here, worked for Doug's pest control business.
Yes.
And the pest control business actually becomes a major player in the story.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, according to Donna, we're told was, quote, smitten with her daughter, Alex. So she was 18 and he was 31.
Yes. Which, okay, like, the age difference is a lot.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, Matt's son, agrees. He doesn't like this. He's like, me and Alex are, like, the same age. And he also doesn't really like Alex as a person.
Right. But he does. Jordan says, look,
it was an uncomfortable situation for me at the time, just because, you know, the same age pretty much. But I was like, makes you happy, go for it.
B, being with her makes you happy, Dad, you go ahead and do it, like, whatever.
Well, I mean, because I think he knew he wasn't going to change his dad's mind, and so you kind of have to go along to get along. But yeah. He makes it clear now, like, no, and he was not a fan.
I just wonder how smitten he really was with Alex. Because we don't get it from, like, his brother doesn't say anything about Alex. We only get it from Donna, who's like, he was head over heels in love. They were head over heels in love with each other.
Yeah. But this is one of your on-screen text moments. Producers tried several times to contact Alex. She wanted nothing to do with this film.
I'm obsessed.
So.
I know. Alex just wants this story to go away.
I know.
And Donna wants to tell this story for the rest of her
life.
She
is telling it. But right now, she's somewhere telling it.
She's
like, she's the worst.
No, she is. She is.
So Matt and Alex get engaged. As we're told about this, they cut to Jordan, the son, rolling his eyes.
Yes.
And so Donna says that's when everything became a mess.
Yeah. So this is when we cut to January 19th, 2015. There's a car accident. And we meet the first responding officer, Officer James Bolton. And he tells us that a witness to the accident said the driver, for whatever reason, crossed 5 lanes of traffic and hit a tree.
So this is our victim, Matt. It's a fatal car crash.
Yes.
And so Donna hears about this and is a wreck. Where's my boy? I'm like, Donna, you need to stop.
I know.
You're weirdly obsessed with this person for his money. It's weird.
And she's overdoing it. Like, she's overdoing it. Not that
Where's
you wouldn't
my
be,
boy? I know. He's a 32-year-old man gonna be your son. Like, what?
I know. And she runs up to the scene demanding to see him. She's told he's gone. And she's like, where'd he go? Feigning this idea that she doesn't understand that he's gone means he's dead.
And like, when the cops tell Matt's brother, Lance, what happened, Donna is there standing behind the cops.
Yeah. And I was going to say, how is that allowed? But we know it's allowed because Donna is best friends with everybody in town. She's best friends with the sheriff.
She's an overbearing, manipulative nightmare.
And she's got to be there when the story is told,
well,
you know?
Right.
So we see Lance and Shauna. We're meeting Shauna for the first time. Shauna is Lance's wife, so Matt's sister-in-law.
She's so emotional about it even now. Like, she can't even get the words out when recounting
because
the
all
night
she can
death.
Think about is Jordan. All she can think about is the son. Like, right. Any normal human being with a fucking heart, all she can think about is how this son just got his dad ripped out of his life. She says that she remembers in the middle of the chaos, they've just been told that Matt is dead. In the middle of the chaos,
Donna pulled me aside and she says, we need to start protecting Matt's stuff right now. And we need to make sure that nothing or no one gets to it. I'll never forget that. And I told her, I'm not worried about that right now.
We need to start protecting Matt's stuff right now. We need to make sure no one gets to it.
And Shauna's like, his stuff?
What the hell are you talking about?
We just lost, like, someone so meaningful in our lives. You're talking about his stuff?
Exactly.
Now, I think what Donna would say is like, well, you know, he's rich and everyone's out for his money. It's like, Donna, you are out for
his money. The only one out for his money, girl.
You're weirdly obsessed with this person.
Yes.
Where's my boy? Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, and Shauna's just said that, like, hang on a second. In retrospect, or maybe even in the moment, suddenly nothing is making any sense. Because she's like, why did nobody call us from the accident scene? We're the next of kin. What is this woman even doing here? Plus, he's a young, fit guy with no history of medical issues. He drives this highway every single night. What happened that he just suddenly crossed 5 lanes of traffic, hit a tree, and died?
Yeah.
They never address this, but he must not have been wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, I guess not.
You know? I mean, and we do see the front impact of the car. Like, the car is totally...
It's bad.
Like, he was, you know, we're going to be told that he died from blunt force trauma from hitting the tree, essentially.
Yeah.
But, like, it was bad.
Now, while Donna is making tequila cake, which sounds disgusting.
It's the I can get behind a margarita. I love a margarita. Yeah. I make a delicious margarita. I keep saying it's rooftop happy hour season. Mm-hmm. I make good margaritas.
Yeah.
But like tequila on its own, warm in a bottle. She's like smelling it and it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah. Tequila and I used to date exclusively.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had a really bad night one night. And now we can only see each other in mixed company. So a watermelon margarita, yes.
Yeah,
shot of tequila, those days are long gone.
A shot of tequila. Somebody at one of my shows recently tried to buy me a shot of tequila.
No.
And I got myself.
It was tequila. Remember her?
The best. That still comes up on my feet sometimes.
I love it.
It's so good.
So good.
The bartender.
It's the only appropriate response.
Oh my God. He poured me bourbon. Like, he saw my face and he's like, you'll be having bourbon.
No, girl.
Yeah,
no.
It was, no.
We see Matthew's obituary.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I paused on it and I wanted to see if Donna was in it. She is. Donna and Doug are listed as his, quote, special friends.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? He leaves to cherish his memory, his only son, Jordan, his fiance, Alex Peterson, his aunt, like all of these people. And the last people in that paragraph, his special friends, Doug and Donna Herring.
Excuse me. Special friend is reserved exclusively for 1980s obituaries to describe, you know.
And they were roommates.
Exactly. Your eccentric brother and his special friend.
His longtime roommate.
His longtime special friend.
So I also think that's
weird. I take personal offense to this.
That she like finagled her way into the obituary.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Travel down the road and back again. Girl, Photo Booth Supply Company is a new sponsor. Can I tell you, I went to two events last month. Both of them had photo booths, and the line for the photo booths, like, it took up the entire space.
Yeah, no matter where you're going, a wedding, a party, or whatever,
yeah.
Whenever I walk in and there's a photo booth, I'm like, oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And so the Photo Booth Supply Company is all about you owning your own photo booth so that you can have your own small business renting it out for these events. It's an incredible idea. I'm totally obsessed.
Yeah, and their top earners make over six figures a year.
Yeah, I got on the call with these guys, and they were explaining to me how this works, and it's so simple. It's so easy. We're talking weddings, parties, corporate events. They all need photo booths. You get connected to these people, you rent the booth to them, and then bada boom, bada bing, you're one of their top earners.
Exactly. So you can do it if you want a side hustle or if you want this to be your full-time business. That's also an option.
Now, if you don't know how to start this as a business, guess what? For a limited time, Photo Booth Supply Company will give you their quick start program for free, loaded with all the resources you need to launch your business and make money this season. Look, if you're looking for a side hustle, this could totally be it.
And summer's the busiest season.
Yes, totally.
So I'd get on it.
Yeah. If you're curious how much you can make by running your own photo booth business, check out their free profit calculator at startphotobooth.com/TCO. Just go and check it out.
Yeah, that's startphotobooth.com/TCO.
Startphotobooth.com/TCO. I'm seriously considering doing this.
I think you should.
I'd be really good at this.
It's so fun to have at a party.
I know.
So Matt died on a Monday night. He was buried by Thursday. And Jordan, the son, says, and I quote,
Donna was the choreographer.
She was controlling the whole thing. You couldn't grieve because she was too busy bossing you around to tell you who couldn't be by that casket.
Sister-in-law Sean is like, she controlled everything. She made a funeral video. You are weirdly obsessed with Matt.
I know.
And we got to talk about it.
She wants his money.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But she said, Shauna says, you couldn't grieve because she was too busy bossing you around, telling everyone what to do. Donna, who are you?
I know.
Go away.
And I was thinking, like, in that moment, the family might be grateful because, like, somebody else is there handling the details.
I guess. But it's like, you got to be careful because nefarious things can happen.
Oh, no, no question.
And Jordan, his son, is really struggling because
I know.
He explains to us that the longer his dad was with Alex, Donna's daughter, the more Jordan's relationship with his dad was strained. He says, Alex definitely pushed me out. She saw me as a threat. It hurt me to see my dad completely forget his family.
Well, and I think
they're trying to isolate
him. I was just going to say, like, no one's recognizing that they're isolating him on purpose and he's letting it happen. It's happening.
Right. So after the funeral, though, Donna's around even more, trying to be a mother to Jordan. I really want to slow down on this.
This is insane because Jordan has a mother. Jordan lives with his mother.
Right. And Jordan also lost his father.
Yes.
So he's grieving and he's going through that trauma. She's texting him things like, Jordan, I love you. You're all I have left of your dad and I want to be close. I will never hurt you and neither will Alex. I need to stop on this.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how toxic this is.
Yes.
There are people in my life who I love dearly and people in their lives have done this to them. It is disgusting.
Yeah.
It is so manipulative. You are all I have left of your dad. How dare you put that on Jordan?
I know.
Like, if you really love someone, do not do this to them. It is vile.
He's a child, you know? Like, the manipulation of this kid is disgusting. And also, like, at the funeral, she's sitting between her daughter and Matt's son, holding both of their hands.
Donna.
Like, what?
Stop.
And my question is, like, where's Jordan's actual mom? Like, where? Like, maybe she's being cool
she
and hanging back.
She refused to have anything to do with this thing. But here's where things get weird, because they've been weird, but January 27th, 2015, 8 days after Matt's death, Donna calls Matt's family.
Donna called us and said that she had found this wheel that Matt has, but we'd never heard of this wheel before. Matt would have told us.
Now, I heard wheel.
Me
and I was like,
too.
Like a tire?
Every single
time. Like the wheel of a
car? Yes, yes,
yes. Does that have to, because it was a car accident?
This reminded me of the Benedict Cumberbatch penguin thing. Are you aware of this?
No.
So he narrated a documentary where it was about penguins.
Okay.
And he would alternately, he said the word penguin, he said one time. And then it was penguin, pengling, penglings, penguinglings. Like it is.
Why?
There was a Graham Norton clip where Benedict Cumberbatch was on and he was like, he showed the clip and it was like started with penguin, it evolved to penguin, then Impala evolved to pangling. It is the wildest. I don't know. And he and Benedict Cumberbatch had no explanation for it either. But I heard wheel as the same way as I heard penguin.
Yeah, there's no producer being like Benedict.
I know. Also, what is going on with your ridiculous name? Are we going to talk about that before we start filming?
I think we've been talking about it.
I mean,
for
it's
quite some time.
Definitely not his real name.
It's like my favorite clip ever. It's that Ashley sent me once, and I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Marsha Brady saying werewolf instead of werewolf. She's like, but what about werewolves? And you're like, what?
Wait, the real Marsha Brady or
the,
like
not
from
Christine
a...
Taylor.
Oh my
the
God.
The real Marsha Brady. No. There's an episode. Look it up on TikTok. The Brady Bunch is not my, I never watched. I mean, I guess when it was on Nick at Night or whatever,
yeah.
But I was more into the monkeys. But yeah, she says, she's like, but what about werewolves? And you're like, what is a werewolf?
A werewolf. Oh my God.
It's the best.
That is, yeah, I'm going to send you the penguin, pengling.
I'll send you werewolf.
Okay, great.
So it's not a wheel, it's a will.
It's a will. Yeah.
So
thank God for the closed captions for this one. I really needed them.
We would have gotten there eventually.
Someday.
But it's like, what? Donna mentions a will that is supposedly Matt's. And it's the first time anyone in Matt's family is hearing about this.
Yeah, yes.
And Donna's like, oh, it's in the safe. And brother Lance is like,
my dad had a gun safe. Right after my dad passed away, Lance pulled everything out of the gun safe. Every shelf, completely empty.
Very much not, because I cleaned out that safe myself and there was not a will in there.
And not to mention Shauna, Lance's wife, was like, if he had a will, we would know about it. He's the kind of guy who told us about paperwork and shit.
Right.
If there was a will, we would have known.
So Donna goes to the safe, opens it because she had the combination, which is also fucking weird.
To his gun safe.
And
like, oh my God.
Poof. There's a will.
There's a will.
So we're supposed to a will.
There's a will and a werewolf.
Oh my God.
And a pangling.
A werewolf. So brother Lance took everything but the will out of that safe and then didn't say a word and is now lying about it.
Exactly.
Donna, is that what we're meant to believe?
Yeah.
Now today, son Jordan has a copy of the will and he's like reading through it and telling us about it. And he's upset. Like even to this day, it's so like it's so jarring because Matt left everything to the fiance, Alex.
Yeah, and Jordan says, I'm 17, I'm his only kid, and he leaves everything to someone he's been dating for a year and a half. And I was like, but we don't believe this, right? Like,
right.
Like, Jordan, like, you know this isn't
major
real.
Major red flag.
Right. And I mean, I think it does take everybody a minute to realize that Donna's crazy, but like, not you.
It's a long minute for a lot of people. She told us exactly, Peacock and Oxygen told us exactly who she was.
Uh-huh.
Literally, the first words uttered. You're like, clocked.
I know. But in the moment reading this will, when everybody thinks it's real,
of course,
I can see how brokenhearted
because
Jordan would
no be. One is thinking. I mean, I'm sure people are surprised by wills all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
You said wheel.
I'm not going to say it now. It's my werewolf. But Jordan's like, I'm in it. I am in the will. But however, he left Jordan $50,000 specifically for Jordan to go to college.
And he only gets it if he goes to college.
And Jordan's like,
$50,000 for college didn't make sense because he knew I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to go work in the oil field.
Jordan wanted to work on an oil field just like his father.
He wanted to, as Daisy would say, follow in his footsteps.
Right.
And go work on the fucking oil rig.
College was never a thing.
No.
And Matt wasn't pushing college on him. Like,
right.
It was all very clear. And Jordan was 17, so they would have been discussing college. He was at that age. So Jordan's like, something is very strange here.
And Jordan, being the heart of this whole thing, says something like this several times throughout. He says, and anyway, I didn't even want my dad's stuff. I wanted my dad.
Of course.
You know, he doesn't give a shit about the
stuff. That's what Donna's missing here.
Exactly.
Like any warmth or human factor.
Yeah.
And because Donna's like, well, Matt made that decision for Jordan so Jordan could do better and be better. And
because she's saying and trying to make us believe Jordan and Matt didn't have a relationship at the time that Matt died.
Right.
And she's saying that there was all this drama. Of course it makes sense. Like Jordan pulled away, his whole family pulled away. So of course he was mad and left everything to Alex.
And again,
my daughter.
I'm sure people get surprised by this all the time.
Yes, yeah.
But in this context, based on everything we've learned so far, it's suspicious.
Yes, 100%.
And Jordan's saying, like, you know, I'm a 17-year-old kid. I just lost my dad. And he's like, I felt really unloved.
Yes.
Like, you see this, like, last will and testament. You sort of take it for what it is. And Jordan's sort of whole life got turned upside down where he's like, so my dad just, like, ditched me and, like, went right over to Donna and Alex? Like,
right.
Like, did I even know him at all when he right. was here and now he's gone? Like, it's totally throwing Jordan for a loop, understandably.
But thank God for Uncle Lance being the adult in the room. He's like, no. This is, not only is this suspicious, everything is suspicious. The will is suspicious. The manner of death is suspicious. Suspicious. Donna's involvement is suspicious. I'm just glad to see that, like, everyone's not an idiot here.
Yeah, because then Donna, like, cut to Donna, and she's like, they can say what they want. They can blame everything on me or Alex or whatever, but there were plenty of issues in that family, and they were there long before Matt met me or my daughter or anyone connected to me.
Yeah, and they're starting to talk about the car crash being suspicious, and, like, the cops are here to say...
Police report said that he never hit his brakes, that the car just kind of slowly drifted off.
Not braking could suggest that they pass out. Texting and driving.
This could indicate texting while driving, and I gotta tell you, that makes some sense to me. Like, as a person who has literally never one time texted while driving, one time had the impulse to do it, pulled my phone out, looked at it, went to do it, and I was like, nope.
You cannot
pay attention to the road and your phone at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, for him to cross five lanes of traffic and, like, crash, that would have been a long fucking text.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that.
Because, like, there were no other cars involved, no substances in Matt's system. He's a healthy 31-year-old guy.
Yeah, but so then, like, the texting while driving, in that sense, does make a little sense.
Because the police report says that Matt never hit the brakes.
Right.
They say the car just kind of slowly drifted off. So it's like, did he pass out? Did he fall asleep at the wheel?
Wait a second. How could it have slowly drifted off and then he died? If it slowly drifted off, he would have hit the tree and been okay.
Right.
It needed to have drifted off at, like, 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, or maybe he couldn't hit the brakes.
Well, right. That's the other thing.
Well, maybe something... happened to the car, like, maybe something happened to the mechanism.
But it also feels like one of those things where, like, somebody, like, killed him, put him in the car, and then set the car off on the road.
Well, here's the thing. The cops didn't think anything was weird. The medical examiner didn't think anyone was weird. They didn't even do an autopsy.
Right.
Which I don't understand. Like, I have to be missing something here. I just don't understand why it's not standard.
I was thinking about this a lot today, too, because the coroner's here to say, he's like, nothing was suspicious. I know, this guy sucks.
But Sylvester Smith, boo.
Yeah, he's the worst. But in his defense, he says,
I didn't see anything that would indicate foul play of any kind. And the coroner and the state police didn't either, because they didn't deem it necessary for an autopsy.
I'm not defending it. I think I'm with you. There should be an autopsy every time. But I think what he's saying is, like, it's maybe a drain on resources or whatever.
Fine. But they didn't tell the family that they didn't do an autopsy. So they didn't even give the family a chance to say.
No, if the family requests an autopsy, do they automatically get one?
You should.
I would hope so.
But so, like, it says they show on-screen text for some. This is written in
the police report.
The police report. For some unknown reason, Mr. Jacobs lost control of the car he was driving and ran off the roadway. I don't know. Maybe an autopsy can help find out the unknown reason, you dummies.
I know. I agree.
How can you write for some unknown reason and then not do the thing that could maybe answer this question?
Yeah, you're right. Because they're like, we'll get more into the details of it in a minute. But, like, you know, he died of blunt force trauma, which they're saying came from the impact of having hit the tree. So when they looked at the body, there wasn't any blood anywhere in the car. It seemed to them to be clear cut. I'm with you. I think every death like this should have an autopsy.
Right. Or at least tell the family, look, based on, because Sylvester says, like, that's still law in Arkansas. And I'm like, well, we got to change a bunch of things about it.
We got to get down to Arkansas and run for office, girl.
I can't go there again. I know. There's, like, a darkness in West Memphis. Honestly, like, just being there. And I know I'm, like, super biased about it, but it's like you cross the bridge. Like, that's why we all stayed in Tennessee.
Really?
We stayed in Memphis.
Oh,
we didn't stay in Arkansas because Damien and Lori were like, we can't, like, sleep there.
Wow.
But you go, it's right over the bridge. Like, that bridge that's in all the documentaries.
Yeah.
You are now entering Arkansas. It's that close.
We're talking about the West Memphis
case. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think that the family, they weren't told about the autopsy, and it's kind of like they didn't want them to know that they could ask for it.
And it's also like, we're going to learn in a minute that Donna is friends with all of these people. We see the sheriff in her kitchen for dinner. We see the coroner in her kitchen. These people who decided not to do an autopsy are dear friends of Donna's.
Weird.
Yeah.
So because there's no definitive answer, the rumor mill goes crazy, and the town is speculating wildly, a la Joan Calamezzo.
Travel down the road, back again.
Girl, Good Wipes is back. It's time to talk about it.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to elevate your daily hygiene with premium wipes.
Yep.
They're flushable wipes.
Yep.
They deliver a superior clean that no dry toilet paper can match.
I get this. Good Wipes are infused with soothing botanicals like aloe, vitamin E, and chamomile. I mean, it already sounds so soothing.
Well, here's the thing. It's safe for sensitive skin.
Yes.
Which you know is important to me.
Yep.
They have a variety of scents, so like rosewater, shea cocoa, lavender, cedar.
Yep.
Their newest one is Botanical Bliss, if you're into the florals.
Oh, they're super soft. They feel so much better than other wipes. They're actually flushable, like Jillian said, made with plant-based fibers, so they break down super easy.
Yeah, free from harsh chemicals, parabens, and dyes. Like, so many times you get sucked into like, oh, these are flushable, right?
Yeah,
and they're actually not. No, Good Wipes are flushable.
And let me just tell you, if you're not using wipes, get into 2025.
You should get into the wipes,
get into the wipes. So, fam, if you want to upgrade your restroom ritual, you can grab Good Wipes at Target, Walmart, Kroger, and most local grocery stores.
So as a special offer for TCO listeners, Good Wipes is giving you your first pack for free.
Yeah, buy any package, text them your receipt, and get reimbursed almost immediately.
For more details, head to goodwipes.com/TCO.
Again, that's goodwipes.com/TCO to snag a free pack of Good Wipes.
And like, let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
And use the wipes. They're flushable.
Everyone should be using wipes.
I mean, if you're not.
I know.
I don't mean to, like, you hear it in my voice. Just use the Good Wipes. You'll thank me later.
Now we learn, a few months after Matt's death, a man named Jimmy Davis dies.
Yes.
So Jimmy Davis, we didn't mention this at the top, but remember how Matt worked for that pest control company owned by Donna's husband? Jimmy Davis was Matt's, like, partner in crime at this pest control company. And according to Donna, they were both the best employees this company ever had.
And Jimmy's niece, Stephanie, is here. And
yes.
She's like, first of all, he was super fun, had a great smile. He was, like, a great guy. She misses her uncle very much.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, he worked with Matt at the pest control place, and Jimmy was also always at Donna and Doug's house.
Yes.
The way Matt was always at Donna and Doug's house. Like, this really can't be ignored.
No. So what we learn is that his body, Jimmy's body, was found under a bridge, and it was initially treated like a homicide. So we learn...
The eyewitness's statements say he was at a convenience store on Cash Road and purchased beer, which was not uncommon. He left the convenience store. He was walking back to his house, and there's a little creek with a bridge over it. And the last person that saw him standing on that bridge. And then he just disappeared.
And the last person to see him saw him standing on the bridge that he was eventually found underneath. And so the autopsy is done. They say nothing suspicious was found. And the idea is that maybe Jimmy was so intoxicated standing on the bridge that he leaned over and fell off and drowned. It was the death was determined to be an accidental drowning.
So two employees of the same company are dead in the span of 5 months, and they're both mysterious deaths.
Right.
Now, the cases are closed. Sylvester, the coroner, doesn't remember Jimmy Davis at all. He's very flippant about the whole thing, which I do not appreciate.
I mean, like, how many deaths could there be in that small town? Like, you know what I mean? How do you not remember this guy? It's not New York fucking city.
No.
You
like,
know?
He's lying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's very good friends with Donna, and this guy worked with Donna. Like,
exactly.
Give me a break.
Of course.
But I also don't appreciate Donna talking shit about Jimmy, being like, what? He liked his alcohol. What?
I know.
Like, shut up. Who are you?
I know.
Like, if you're Jimmy's family, you're like, why is your boss's wife, like, all up in your bit? Like, what is going on?
It's true.
And we'll get later, like, not unlike Matt's funeral, Donna had to be all over Jimmy's funeral
yeah.
and all of his arrangements.
Oh, my God. Stephanie the niece tells us the story that the day of the funeral, Donna showed up with, like, a fancy blue suit for him to be buried in.
Who are you?
I know. I mean, in one sense, maybe she's just the caring boss who's like, I want to do something nice.
No.
I get so much shit for, like, defending the bad guys on this podcast, and I'm not defending her. I'm trying to see it from all sides.
Which is, like, fine. If that was the one time she did that one thing,
that one
I'd be
weird
like,
thing.
Wow. But
yeah.
She's, like, an overbearing nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though these cases are closed, there are a lot of rumors about them. They're suspicious. They don't really make any sense. They're all, like, sort of connected to the same group of people.
Yeah.
So it's December 2015, 11 months after Matt's death, and Alex, Matt's fiance, Donna's daughter, gets a check for $884,000.
I screamed at the top of my lungs.
I mean,
do you know that that is $884,000 in today's money?
Yeah.
That is, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I totally, yeah. like, lost my fucking, I was like, what?
It is absolutely life-changing
I mean,
money. An insane amount of money. That, again, so, like, Jordan, the son's like, hi, Hi, Dad. Like, I know. Standing over here being like, wow, like, now he has to watch this woman who he didn't even like.
I know. And that is Matt's blood money, by the way. That is the money that he got for, like, suffering the greatest trauma of his life.
Right.
Until he was killed.
Now, Alex is taking that check and living her best life.
She bought vehicles, party barges, baseball games, Bruno Mars concert.
We've seen pictures on social media of beach trip after beach trip that Alex would be on.
She bought party barges. Not one. She bought multiple party barges.
She's going to every sporting event in town. She's going to Bruno Mars concerts. She's on multiple vacations with another boyfriend.
I know.
The same guy in all these pictures.
Party barges. Like, where did the idea to get a party barge even enter her brain?
Well, Matt's family says it looks like she was celebrating.
Right.
Like, it looks like, because Donna is here to deny.
She had that one gay friend who's like, you know what you need? A party barge.
Girl.
Girl, you need a party.
Long weekend's coming up. What are we doing?
You know what we could be doing? We could be partying on one of your multiple party barges.
Like, hello?
A party barge.
Fuck Bruno Mars concert.
Oh, my God. Am I getting a party barge for the summer?
I guess.
Would you come on my party barge on the Hudson?
SPF 100 all the way.
But you'd come. We go for, like, an evening cruise.
But you're, like, trapped on the barge.
Well, I would promise you we'd only go for an hour.
Okay.
And we'll have, like, Cosmos everywhere.
And, like, later, so the sun's not beating
down. That's
what
I said. We'll do an evening cruise.
For 1 hour.
1 hour.
I don't like that I'm trapped.
We'll have a lifeboat for you.
Okay.
So you can get off if you absolutely have to.
Okay, great. Now, Donna is here to deny that Alex flew her money on parties and vacations, but Alex posted everything she did on Instagram, so shut up, Donna.
If I had a party barge, I would never get off Instagram.
Like,
I hate her, and I'm not making light of what happened here. I just can't get over the fact that this is the first conversation in 9 years we're ever having about a party barge.
It's crazy.
I desperately want one.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
No one's stopping you. But Donna's one of those people who's like, 2 + 2 = 4. You're crazy.
I'm sorry.
It's like, well, on Instagram it is.
Cut to 3 months from now where I'm texting you. You said you'd come for an hour.
Yeah.
You said you would.
I really don't feel well. No, I don't want to be trapped in the middle of the fucking Hudson River.
I know.
In the summer.
I know.
When I could be in air conditioning with my dog. Like,
I love you. We are so different.
Like, why?
I know. It's a party barge.
Outside, trapped on a barge.
You know what if I...
inside an air conditioning. There's no
I know. I just, my entire personality is party barges.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Like,
no,
that, that's it.
God.
Until September.
God help us all.
Okay.
So April 2016, 15 months after Matt's death, Matt's family still wants answers. What happened to Matt?
Of course.
Like, where did this will come from?
I know.
There a connection to Jimmy's death? Enter Adam Reed, tax attorney.
I ask you a favor.
Yeah.
Can you just say ding?
Why?
Just do it.
Ding.
Hero bell.
Oh.
For Adam Reed.
Like, oh, God.
I'm obsessed with Adam Reed.
So he's a tax attorney.
I know. The fact that he's a hero in this story as a tax attorney is amazing.
He's like,
I get a lot of these calls all the time. They almost always don't work out. It's, you know, disgruntled heirs. People who have been left out of a will and are mad about it, but there's usually nothing I can do. You know, I've had a client leave $5 million to her cat.
I once had a client who left $5 million to her cat, and then he shrugs.
Yeah.
Not even like a cat-saving organization.
I know.
Like, so is there money just sitting somewhere, not doing anyone any good?
Like $5 million bucks in an account somewhere?
Can someone, like, comment about this? I really need to know what happens. Like, what is the answer? Nothing? Is the answer, like, nothing happens? It's just in an account somewhere forever? Like, where does that $5 million go?
Sniffles is the richest cat on the Upper East Side.
Sniffles. I
love
you, girl.
Sniffles.
But anyway, Adam the lawyer takes a look at the will, and he's instantly concerned. He goes, it was created by one of those online will companies, like Fast Wills 4, the number 4U.net.
I'm telling you, this was a revelation for me, because I didn't know what to believe at this point. It takes this lawyer minutes to realize that it was made by, like, basically, like, whatever.
FastWillsForYou.net.
Totally.
That's what I've come up with.
FastWills, number 4, letter U.
.net.
.net.
Yeah. Slash fast.
Totally.
Slash not shady. But that's red flag number 1. The fact that this happened from one of these websites, which is, can be, look, if it's cheap, whatever. Like,
yeah.
I understand
Well,
that.
Wait, that's just the one bombshell.
Then he reads 2 sentences of it, and he's like, no one would ever draft a will like this.
Yeah.
There were things that were left blank. Like, they were sort of giving too much information in some sections and then leaving really important sections blank, that if anyone was, like, a professional walking you through it, would not be left blank?
No.
Like, inheritance percentage? And things are written in weird ways. Like, the number 1 is written as the numeral.
Uh-huh.
Which is,
you would never,
you
do,
would
like,
never
in, a
do that.
In a legal document.
Yeah.
He says his spidey senses went off. So this hero, he says, that it was actually made by a company called FormSwift. He calls customer service.
Luckily, you got a friendly agent on the line, and she told me it was created on January 24th, 2015. 5 days after Matthew died.
5 days after Matthew died. I literally gay gasped.
And the thing is, the entire will is about that he hereby states that I'm engaged to Jordan Alexandra Peterson.
Yes.
And the lawyer's like, no one gives a shit.
No,
like,
right, yeah.
I've never seen a will that states who the person is engaged to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It has no legal
binding
significance.
Yeah.
So he's like, all of this stuff. And then he calls and he talks to Renee in the front office. And she's like, what?
I know.
So 5 days after Matt died, he goes, it was impossible for the will to be legitimate unless Matt signed it from
the
his
grave.
I know. Donna, we got you, girl.
I was screaming. So April, because I'm like, at this point of the documentary, I'm like, how is she doing this interview from her kitchen table?
Right.
How is she not in the jumpsuit?
So this is when Adam, the lawyer, calls Matt's family and he's like, I got good news and bad news. What do you
yes.
want first? The bad news is that this is a fake will. The good news, I know who did it and I
have
the receipts.
Let's
go, Adam. Let's go.
Ding, ding, ding. He's a hero.
I will give everyone, you won't need it, but one guess who drafted the will. Can anyone guess? Anyone? Donna fucking Herring.
Donna Herring.
She made a fake will and used one of Matt's signatures that she had from when he bought the house.
Like, oh my God.
And like photocopied it like old school Photoshop.
Yes. Yes.
Took his will, took his signature, forged it on a fake will.
And I'm like,
5 days after he died.
And Lance, brother Lance, thank God he said this. He's like,
it took me to a bad place.
Bad place.
This woman not only stole from Jordan, but made him feel unloved.
She made Jordan feel unloved.
Yeah.
That is, beyond the money, that is the most fucked up thing that this person did.
And then texting him, you're the only connection I have to your father. Also, Donna, you're his realtor? Who the fuck are you? Like, who are you actually?
Travel. Girl, Gab is back. Look, we all know it. The youth mental health crisis is all over the news. We know that social media is driving this. This shocked me. Teens spend an average of 9 hours a day on screens outside of school.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's like a 9-hour workday, only you're just scrolling mindlessly and then getting inundated and like feeling bad about yourself.
Well, okay, but so here's the good news. A company called Gab has solved the problem by doing something no one else is doing. Their approach is called Tech in Steps. Now, we've been using Gab with Daisy for almost a year now, and I'm obsessed with this.
Yeah, Tech in Steps is awesome. So Tech in Steps works by providing a kid-safe phone and watch, by the way,
yes.
if you're into the watches, for every age and stage, basically the right device at the right time.
Yeah, so here's how it works. First off, Gab devices have no social media or internet apps. Daisy is barely interested in her phone, and
that's
that
amazing.
Is the point.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
For younger kids, they've got a watch with GPS tracking and safe zones. For tweens, a smarter phone with more features like monitored messaging and video calling. This Gab phone is meant to grow with your kid.
Right. And for teenagers, they have an advanced phone with features like parent-managed apps, a premium camera, because the kids are all about the selfies.
Yes. There used to be a time when if you were going to give your kid a phone, it was going to come loaded with all these things. Not anymore. You don't have to give your kid a device that was made for an adult.
Yeah.
Get them Gab, which keeps them socially connected safely. When I tell you this is true and it works and we see it in practice with Daisy every day,
yeah.
I was so worried about getting her a phone and I'm not anymore.
It really hits home, like, don't give your kid a device made for an adult.
So 100%. Like, Tech in Steps.
That's it right there.
Yeah, yeah. So fam, protecting your kids has never been easier. For the best deals, sign up for Gab today, no contract required, at gab.com/TCO.
That's gab.com/TCO.
gab.com/TCO.
Terms and conditions apply. Sorry.
Wah, wah, wah,
I know.
Wah.
But it's totally worth it for the
totally
kids.
Totally worth it.
So to recap, Donna went through all the calculated steps to fake a will.
I know.
Stole from Jordan, Matt's son.
How is everybody not so afraid, as afraid of going to jail as I am?
Like,
I would never do anything like that. I would, as I'm faking this will, I'm like, I'm going to jail for the rest
yeah.
of my life. I'm going to jail for the rest of my life.
Stole from Matt's son, made Jordan feel unloved. She was manipulating the family. She was manipulating Jordan, lying to everyone. Because, by the way, her sister and her sister's husband also signed the will as witnesses.
Yes.
She's implicating them.
Idiots.
So the point is, like, what else did Donna do? What else could Donna have done?
Right.
If she's gone through all of this.
Yes.
So Matt's family's furious, but they can't say anything or they'll ruin the case. Adam, the tax guy, is like, you got to keep your mouth shut. I get it, but like,
right, because Jordan now wants to like run up to that dummy Alex, you know, probably at the prom or whatever, and
yeah.
be like, bitch, I know what you did, but
right.
he can't do it. He's
got to
keep his mouth shut.
So Adam, the lawyer, is working the case, and there's another red flag. The will mentions cremation
yeah.
right away. And Matt's family was like, well, Matt never discussed that with anyone. And also I'm like, well, he's 31 years old. I'm sure no one was talking about this. He was a young, healthy guy.
Well, but they do say
she added in there, make arrangements for my remains to be cremated.
Cremation Matt never talked about cremation. Mm-hmm. We always said we want to be just buried.
I know for a fact my dad would not have wanted to be cremated. You know, he wanted to be buried next to his mother.
He did not want to be cremated.
Right.
And he wasn't, right?
Well, no, because Donna, days after the burial, made this fake will. And what the tax guy is saying, like, what's weird about this is that the default option on the website is burial.
Yeah.
So Donna had to manually change that to cremation. Like, why?
Because they're saying that they want that Donna wanted him cremated in case if she had anything to do with his death, it would ruin the evidence. But I'm like, but she was the one in charge of the funeral and she just had him buried, right? Like,
right.
He wasn't cremated.
No, he was not.
Okay.
Because they end up exhuming him later.
Right. Yeah.
Also, we see Donna holding, hugging a little dog. Stay safe, little one.
I know.
Stay safe out there.
Oh, Sniffles.
Stay safe, Sniffles. Things are about to get weirder.
Yeah.
Jeff Davis is here. He's Matt's friend. No relation to Jimmy Davis, who's the other suspicious death.
Or Jefferson Davis, as far as we know.
Sure.
The Confederate president.
Yeah, no.
I don't think they're related.
But maybe is that who he's named after?
That's what I was thinking.
In South Arkansas.
I know.
I'm so tired.
I know.
Anyway, Matt, our victim, confided in his friend Jeff. And he was like, look, my relationship with Alex is causing a lot of problems for me.
Yes.
In particular, with his son, Jordan.
Yes.
Which Jordan told us.
Right.
So now Jeff is just confirming what we already knew,
right,
from Jordan, his son.
That, like, and remember, Donna is saying they were head over heels, they were smitten, they were so in love, he wanted to leave her all of his money.
It's like, did Donna force her daughter to, like, try to, like, seduce this guy?
I think so, yes.
For his money?
I do think so.
Because Donna, Donna wanted him in many ways.
Totally.
She didn't want it to be, like, his mother and his lover, and she couldn't decide, so she just, like, sicked her daughter on him. Perhaps, that's just my opinion.
Totally.
Just saying. So, the Friday before Matt died, he's working at the pest control job.
Yeah.
With
which,
Jimmy
by the way, I was thinking about the amount of encounters they must have with cockroaches.
Oh, it's there. That's an easy day.
That's, oh God.
That's typical.
What else is there?
A lot.
What else is there? I need you to tell me.
I'm not telling you anything.
What else is there?
I don't know. What isn't there? Something weird that you can't identify? Something that has the word peed in it?
No!
Something with a whole lot of legs and feet.
Anyway.
So the day before Matt died, he's working a pest control job with Jimmy Davis, the other suspicious death.
Yes.
And Matt says,
he told me that he finally decided to break it off with Alex. The only reason why he couldn't get out of the situation yet was because they were threatening him. They told him that they were going to turn him in for being with a minor. Because she was 17 when Matt started dating her.
Because apparently Alex was actually 17 when she started dating Matt.
So, like, are we going to spend 20 minutes talking about how problematic this is?
I don't understand, because we never get confirmation if this is a lie or not.
I know, because
still,
we're
18
told,
and 31 is too much.
No,
in my
but
opinion.
when we started and we were told she was 18, I gave it some pause, but I was like, well, she's technically a legal adult, but was she actually 17 and he's 32?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. We don't get an answer on that, and I really wish we did, because that's very,
it's like, inappropriate.
It's
to
wildly
say the least.
Inappropriate.
Yes,
and like, you can understand where Jordan's coming from.
Right.
For a great many reasons.
Yes.
But like, it's a lot.
It's absolutely a lot.
It's a lot. Because Jeff, the friend, says, you got to stay strong. You got to get away from this family. Like,
right.
Threats be damned.
Yeah.
But like, you need to get out from under their thumb.
Also, Jeff, the friend, says, I told him, get out of there anyway. And just remember, if she presses charges, your friends and family are going to stand by you. I'm like, girl, you are the one who's supposed to be like his big brother. Tell him this is not appropriate. You shouldn't be in a relationship with a 17-year-old girl.
No.
Like,
no.
Don't just blanketly stand by people who do fucked up things.
I know.
You know, he can be the victim in the story and also have done some shitty things if this is true.
I mean, and we never get an answer.
I know.
Jeff, the friend, knowing what he knows now, is starting to wonder about Jimmy Davis, the coworker who also mysteriously died. Because he's like, he was always with Matt. He was always with Donna and her family. Something is weird here. Like, did Jimmy Davis know too much? Like, what happened?
And this makes sense. Because the coincidence, I'm sure somebody can do the math. The coincidence of two people who were good friends who work for the same company, both dying mysteriously within 5 months of each other, the likelihood of that happening is very, very, very
and
small.
Donna's behavior was similar with both of them, too.
Yes.
She was always making them food.
Yeah.
She was always having them over, and she was being overbearing with the funeral, like with the blue suit thing. Like, who are you?
Right.
Why are you so involved in their lives?
Yeah.
During and after these tragedies happen. It's very weird.
It is very weird, and it definitely makes you think there could be definitely more to the Jimmy Davis death.
Now we're back with Adam the lawyer, who has now become a criminal forensics expert.
I'm obsessed with it.
Because he's diving into this will, and now he's looking at Matt's accident report, and he's trying to find more red flags that sort of like coincide with the will.
He's a tax attorney, and he says, On the accident report, it says the airbag deployed. But on the police report, it says that he died from trauma to the head and chest. And we found out that there wasn't a single drop of blood in the car. So why wasn't there an autopsy done? What he's saying is...
And it all goes back to that same question.
Right.
Why not?
He's saying that if the airbag deployed, there wouldn't be any damage to his head. If the blunt force trauma was to his head, but the airbag deployed, he wouldn't have a blunt force trauma to his head.
It sounds like something was done to his car.
Or something was done to him to before him. He got in the car.
Yeah.
You know?
Something bad happened.
Yeah.
Like this wasn't... He didn't drift off the road while texting.
No. Right.
Come on. Now, we're told, this is where we get into, like, Donna is friends with all of these influential people in town.
Yeah.
Because we cut to her.
And they seem afraid of her.
We cut to her praising the former chief of police, like, in this, like, on shoot day.
In her kitchen.
You're such a good person. You're so amazing at your job. She's actually sitting with him while he's doing his interview.
Yes. Yes.
Taking place in her home. He's the chief of police. What is wrong with you?
I know.
So then we see her praising Sylvester, the coroner. She's like,
I wasn't worried about it because I knew you were in charge. You're going to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that never fazed me. Never fazed me.
I knew everything would be okay because you were on the job. Like, she's manipulative. She's overbearing. She's pushy. Everyone was scared of her. So, like, what is she capable of? And that's why Sylvester's like, I've never heard of Jimmy Davis. I never did this. I didn't have to do an autopsy. I didn't have to tell Matt's family. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
She is being very controlling with a lot of people who make really important decisions in these cases.
Exactly.
What's going on
here? Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
So part two, the mysterious woman. Donna made that fake will on the website. She's in Arkansas. The company's based in California. Bada bing, bada boom. That's wire fraud.
She's giving a wire fraud, baby.
Which is a federal crime.
Yes.
Which means the FBI is involved. Enter Tanya.
Oh my God.
Special agent Tanya.
I like Tanya until I don't.
Okay.
But she works out of the Little Rock office. She's assigned to the case, mostly to handle the fraudulent will, but she is mildly obsessed with the mysterious death of Matt.
Right. So it's July 13th, 2016, 18 months after Matt's death. The FBI, like, descends onto Arkansas.
15 agents swarm the town. They drop warrants on all of Donna's properties and offices, and they conduct interviews with all of the main suspects. Now, Tanya says, we timed our interview with Donna to be when she was at her Century 21 office, and she says, usually people are not thrilled to be meeting an agent from the FBI.
Or they're just on edge.
Yeah,
like,
Donna was over the moon.
She was psyched.
Donna goes through all the personalities during their interview.
Because when I first got there, it was, oh, sweetie, so happy to have you here, to crying because he died and she loved him so much, to cussing like a sailor, to talking about being baptized.
Harmony Grove Methodist Church saved my life.
She was all over the place.
She was all over the
place. She was talking about being baptized. Like, Donna, shut up.
How the church saved her. Like, that's why Donna wants to make this documentary. Like, anybody, any opportunity to sit down and talk about herself with somebody, she's doing it.
And nothing is going to happen to her in that town.
Right. Totally. Like, but that's why it's good that Tanya's here, because Tanya is an impartial, like, she's not close with Donna.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, Tanya tells Donna that she knows all about the fake will. And Donna's like, oh, that? Like, girl, you misunderstand.
Yeah.
Here's what really happened. Donna tells FBI Tanya that she found Matt's original will that she doesn't have anymore.
Right.
Where did it go? We don't know.
She found an original will that Matt had written.
Right. But it didn't include his son, Jordan, at all. So out of the goodness of her heart, she made another will online specifically to include Jordan. And basically, we shall be thanking Donna.
Exactly.
So just to be clear, Donna admitted that she made a fake will online.
She admitted that she made the fake will online.
And the original will is nowhere to be found.
It's gone.
So they ask Donna, and they're like, okay, thanks for admitting that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the night Matt died.
What do you think happened, Donna? She thinks that Matt's doctor was overprescribing him Xanax and that he took too much Xanax that night and drove home and crashed into a tree.
And this is when FBI Tanya says, here's the thing. Matt's blood was only tested for alcohol, nothing else. So I guess we'll get back to that because they're going to test it for everything else.
I just don't understand. If you're going to test it for one thing, test it for everything.
That's Sylvester, the coroner, sitting in Donna's kitchen.
Right.
That was his decision.
Right.
So that's weird, right? So Tanya also speaks to Alex, who's Donna's daughter and Matt's fiance.
The beneficiary of the almost $1 million.
FBI Tanya looks directly at us and says, she didn't fall far from the tree she came from.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Jordan's right about Alex, too.
Yes. And,
right?
You know, ultimately, Alex does admit to believing that her mother was behind the creation of the will, which I'm sorry, Alex, makes you culpable, which means you know that your mom made up this fake will and you're spending Jordan's inheritance.
Right. $884,000.
That you're pissing away on party barges.
And that,
now,
like,
hear me out. It's... an hour and 5 minutes, because I want a little docking time.
Oh.
I just want 5 more minutes where I can get us docked and undocked.
Or air conditioning.
Okay. But the whole idea is that it's open air.
Yeah.
Bring the dog.
No, she'd hate it.
She would.
The poor thing. She'd be like, Mom, what's going on here?
I know.
The air conditioning. Do you remember? We have air conditioning at home.
Out at the hut. Oh, we'll have such a good time.
Okay. And I think what the family is really hating about what Alex is doing, it's not just that she's spending the money. It's like she's flaunting it in their faces.
Yes, yes.
Posting it on Instagram, living her best life. And again, quote, celebrating.
And they also learn that the night of the accident, Matt's phone was given to his brother, Lance. And Lance, thinking he's doing the right thing, is giving the phone to Matt's girlfriend, Alex.
Fiance Alex.
And Tanya asks Alex, right now, do you still have that phone? And she says no.
That's a lie.
Tanya finds out later that at the time of the interview, Alex knew full well that she had taken Matt's phone, given it to her current boyfriend.
Who's in all the photos because they're vacationing together.
Yes, yes. And Tanya's saying, we desperately wanted that phone. We wanted to see the text messages between them. We wanted to see, were they still together? Were they not?
And also, it's not like she gave it to the boyfriend for safekeeping.
I learned that Matthew's phone, at the time of our interview with her, was being used by her boyfriend. So she completely lied to us. We tracked it down, but unfortunately, the phone had been wiped multiple times, and at that point in time, did not have any evidentiary value.
The phone was wiped, quote, multiple times, so there's no evidence on the phone.
And I'm like, can't we? There's no way to go back. I mean, Tanya tells us that, like, Matt didn't, like, save his, like, text to the cloud or whatever. So, I there's no other way to forensically go back through the phone and recover lost text messages.
It's hard to do that. Apple won't really do it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It should be better. You're the FBI, Tanya. Come up with a way.
I guess.
The answer is in the text messages. Like, were they lovey-dovey, like Tanya said? Were they not, they couldn't wait to get married? Or did he break up with her and he hated her and this is all fraud and we should try to get the money back?
Well, I think FBI Tanya doesn't need the phone because we have another twist. Matt had a girlfriend who was not Alex.
Yes.
And the night he died, he was on his way to see her. And her name is Lori.
Yeah.
And this is a little messy because they met at the pest control job. Lori was a client.
Yes.
And it's messy because his future father-in-law runs that business.
Right.
So Alex knew about Lori, the girlfriend. Alex was not happy about Lori, the girlfriend.
But this means that Alex and Matt were broken up.
Yes.
They were broken up.
For a while.
She has no claim to that money.
Now, also, Donna totally knew about Lori, even though Donna claims that she only learned about Lori 4 to 5 months after Matt died.
Right.
That Donna is an overbearing nightmare. It sounds like Donna and Alex had a pretty toxic relationship. I am positive she knew about Lori.
Of course, Donna was calling Lori and openly harassing this woman over the phone.
And threatening her.
Yeah.
And Donna, quote, did this in the presence of others. So this also makes me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Donna admits it. So Donna will say, I didn't know her. Now she's admitting that she called and threatened this woman.
While Matt was still alive, she's calling and threatening Lori.
But it's okay, everyone, because Donna was in, quote, in mama bear mode. Barf, 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 barf.
I know.
Now, she says something that makes zero sense to me. She says, when you're in mama...
You can do it. You can do it. You can get through it.
Listen, when you're in mama bear mode, you don't care if it's the rabbit crossing the street if you're mad. That rabbit better tell you why he's crossing that street. And I was in mama bear mode.
I can't with the mama bear thing. I can't do it. Like, leave the bears out of it.
No, I know.
Because I know where it comes from.
Yes.
It comes from bears being protective of their cubs. I get it.
Yes.
I support the bears.
It's just that thing of, like, it's Donna trying to justify her shitty existence.
Her shitty actions and behavior.
Yes.
You cannot threaten someone.
No.
Because she might get the money you want one day.
Right.
That's really what this is all about.
Exactly.
Like... and she's an overbearing nightmare. And I think she probably, again, speculating wildly, a la Joan Calamezzo.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they probably, like, she and Alex maybe had one of those relationships where, like, Donna was always competing with her daughter or living vicariously through. Because I think she very clearly wanted to be with Matt.
Uh-huh.
So she's, like, living through all for money.
Uh-huh.
It's very twisted and sick.
It's all very sick.
I mean, I learned everything I needed to know about her, one, in the first 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And two, with those texts to Jordan saying, you're the only thing connecting me to your father.
Yes.
That, to me... because I have, again, people in my life that has happened to. I've seen it firsthand. It's disgusting and vile and wildly unfair, especially to a teenager who's going through trauma like that. So I know exactly who Donna is.
And like, where is Alex in the world? She's probably 10,000 miles away from her mother.
I mean, good. Like, Alex, you have stuff to answer for too, but like, stay away from this mother of yours, obviously. So here's the thing. By all accounts, Matt broke up with Alex.
Yes.
Which means that she's not entitled to any of the money he got from the settlement.
I mean, unless he legitimately left it to her in a will.
But that's why it's written all over the will that they were engaged.
Right.
And the tax guy is like, cool, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But if he writes it in the will, like, Donna, quote, made it official, because FBI Tani is like, oh, Alex was Donna's princess and Donna would do anything to make sure that Alex was taken care of, meaning money.
Right.
That's all Donna cares about.
And I'm like, Donna, you don't care that she's blowing all that money. That money's going to be gone in a year.
Right. Right. FBI Tani says outright, Donna is incredibly good at manipulating people.
Yes.
And she'll plant thoughts in your heads. Like, she would do things like, she would tell Jordan, Matt's son, that the day Matt died, Alex had just picked out her wedding dress to make it seem like they were together. But the reality is that Matt had dumped her and he was going to see his new girlfriend, Lori.
Yes.
And everyone was up in arms about it.
I mean, Donna is such a fucking bad person.
She's a horrifying person.
You know, and what I love about this documentary is like, Donna, what did you think was going to happen? Did you think you were going to come out looking good?
Right.
Because you don't. You look insane.
Because she definitely wasn't playing chess where it's like, oh, where is this company based? Does it constitute wire fraud? Is the FBI involved?
Right.
Like, she wasn't thinking that far ahead. She's just thinking, I can do whatever the fuck I want because I'm besties with the police chief and the coroner will do whatever I say.
Like with the local people.
She was not thinking the FBI is going to be involved.
Totally.
Because Jordan says Donna was the creator of the madness. And it's so clear that she was.
So November 16th, 2016, nearly 2 years after Matt's death, Donna Herring is charged with fraud, money laundering, and aggravated identity theft.
Because Ben, the U.S. attorney in the West District of Arkansas, calls this a criminal conspiracy.
Yes.
Because like everything comes back to Donna. She's at the middle of this. She got her sister and her brother-in-law involved to sign as witnesses, like Alex. But Alex is involved too because Alex gave Donna the combination to Matt's safe so Donna could plant the will. Like,
she
there's
also
a lot
received
here.
And spent the money?
Like,
you know?
So, because Alex, the daughter, is charged with obstruction, a false statement, wire fraud, and money laundering.
Yeah, and the Diana John Kinley, I think it's like Donna's sister and brother-in-law, are charged with wire fraud, money laundering, and aggravated identity theft because they witnessed the will, the fake will.
So Donna pleads not guilty to every charge. We're told she has a very good lawyer.
Yes.
And now, like, we have something horrible that happens because suddenly we're watching body cam footage.
Going into another house.
And the cops at the scene, there's a woman who has a gunshot wound and this nosy neighbor is like,
ma'am, okay, when you come back over here, I can't really talk about it.
I haven't talked about anything, but it's been subpoenaed to go to that big trial.
Okay.
And we don't.
I'm not going to say anything, but she was subpoenaed to go to a big trial.
This nosy neighbor is, we're seeing the nosy neighbor on body cam. It is the most nosy neighborish thing I've ever
and
seen in my
like
life.
And she's like whispering and telling the cops to whisper. And the cop goes, and she's like, shh, keep your mouth, keep your voice down. So it turns out that the cops are at Lori, Matt's girlfriend's house, and she's dead. She was shot in the chest.
Shot in the chest. Now, everybody around Matt is being killed or dying.
Matt Jacobs is dead. Jimmy Davis is dead. And now Lori Skeens is dead.
Yes.
And they all go back to Donna. They all have a connection to Donna.
It's absolutely insane. And attorney Adam even says, I remember thinking, should I be scared for my life? Like people are dropping like fucking flies now.
And the death certificate now says that Lori killed herself.
Yes.
And guess who signed off on it?
Sylvester Smith.
Donna's many friends.
Yeah, the coroner.
She was just telling him how amazing he was at his job. He signed Matt's death certificate and he signed Jimmy Davis's death certificate and earlier pretended like he didn't know who Jimmy Davis was.
Yeah. And now FBI Tanya says, like, this is suspicious because Donna had been harassing and threatening this woman. She reaches out to, like, Tanya from the FBI reaches out to local law enforcement and they're saying, like, there really is nothing to see here. And they tell Tanya that Lori had a history of depression and a history of suicide. I was like, Tanya, do you mean, like, suicide attempts?
Yeah.
And we are told that she discovered that she had lung cancer and decided to kill herself than going through treatment.
And FBI Tanya says, look.
She believes it.
Yeah, she goes, I know it's suspicious, but she claims that she did her own independent research, and she says Lori more than likely did die by suicide.
Like, it's just, it's how many coincidences do, like, look, I believe Tanya. This was the part where I was saying I like Tanya until I don't.
I know.
Because I was like, this, but I guess, what would Donna get out of Lori being dead at this point?
Well, what happens is that
anything could have happened to her, you know, but part of me believes that somebody in this situation had a hold over her because she died before any court dates had happened to appear as a witness.
Lori was about to testify against Donna.
Right.
And now she's dead. And like, I don't, right. I want Lori's truth to be told, yeah. No matter what it is. And so if FBI Tanya is saying that, and she admits, I know it's all very shady.
Yeah.
But based on her research, and we don't have access to that research, like, I don't really know what to believe.
But it could have been very damaging testimony for Donna if Lori gets up in the stand and she's like, he hated Donna, he hated Alex, he loved me. I have all these text messages to prove it.
Right.
You know?
Right. So on January 26, 2018, this is now 3 years after Matt's death, Donna changes her tune. Now she pleads guilty a month before the trial. She was pleading not guilty to everything.
I think this is the biggest indicator of her guilt of anything we've seen.
So she pleads guilty to one count of wire fraud.
Yeah.
And then we get like, we get Donna saying 15 times in a row that this is all her fault and that her daughter didn't do anything.
Yeah, but it's like, to me, this is so obvious. And somebody says it, that she's pleading guilty to one small thing so they don't investigate her for these three fucking murders.
Because if she pleads guilty, there won't be a trial.
Right.
So she can kind of get, she'd be like, yeah, I did it. Leave my daughter out of it, protecting the daughter. But then like, now she can avoid people finding the truth about all of these mysterious deaths.
Which is like very smart on her part, but I mean, also very obvious, if you ask me.
I think it's very obvious, too. Because now people are asking, like, okay, well, did she possibly poison Matt?
Right.
Because she was always cooking for him. She was always bringing him meals. And she had access to a lot of poisons and chemicals thanks to her husband's pest control business.
And we know that when there was no autopsy, so there was no tox screened on it. All they tested for was alcohol.
Right. So the FBI, and you know, like, we've talked about this a million times, this always puts the family through fucking hell and back.
Yeah.
But the FBI exhumes Matthew's body to try to get to the bottom of this.
But even the exhumation is bungled because FBI Tanya is saying we had to go through the proper channels, all of the local authorities, and the family has to agree, and the district attorney.
There's a lot that goes into it. You can't just like make a decision.
Yeah, one of the major decision makers is like out of town to like when they're trying to figure out the logistics, and suddenly that fucking guy, the coroner,
who was just
having soup at Donna's house, is exhuming the body with a bunch of city workers.
Without telling anybody.
Yes.
So the word gets out that they're exhuming Matthew, and everyone's like, wait, like right now?
Yeah.
The pathologist is out of town. Like, how is this happening?
Right.
So Sylvester's like, yeah, we just went ahead and did it. And no, I did not feel the need to tell Matthew's family. No, I did not feel the need to tell law enforcement. Like, Sylvester.
Looking back at how Sylvester Smith was handling this was very poor and questionable.
And we did it as best as we could.
They dropped him three times before they finally got him out of the grave.
Jordan says they dropped my dad's casket three times before they were able to get it out of the ground.
It's so horrible. Like,
horrible.
Not only the fact that they did this the way they did it, but the actual way they physically did it is just like atrocious.
And the coroner, what's his fucking name?
Sylvester.
He's basically like, sorry, kid, you wanted us to test your dad's body, so this is how we got to do it.
And no, I didn't think I should have told anybody. Like, oh my God.
I know.
So they exhume Matthew's body, and now they want to do extensive testing for like 300 things.
But it's not extensive enough because it all comes back negative. This panel comes back negative for the 300 things they commonly test for. And they're saying it is still possible that he was poisoned because there are certain poisons you have to test for specifically, but you have to know what you're looking for.
And these can be hundreds of options.
Hundreds. And I'm like, well, does anybody know what kind of chemicals Donna's husband used for his pest control business?
Right.
Can we just test for that?
Oh, don't worry, everyone. Sylvester feels vindicated. He says he silenced the critics. I'm like, but do you? Because you have two right here, buddy.
We hate you, Sylvester.
You got two right here, pal.
We absolutely fucking hate you, Sylvester.
Like, I silenced the critics?
Yeah, no. And I'm like, well, but wait a second. Like FBI Tanya, we are specifically talking about the fact that Donna has access to these particular chemicals. Can you at least test for those? And we don't know if they did or not.
We don't know. So part three, the other side of the story. It's November 12th, 2019, 4 years and 10 months after Matt's death. Donna is now here to blame Lance, Matt's brother.
She is saying, I wrote the fake will, but Lance and Shauna helped me do it. They were in on the whole thing. They were sitting at my office with me as I was writing this fake will. And it keeps cutting to Lance, but like an image of him not saying anything.
Yeah.
It's like Donna telling this story. I'm not going to be silenced anymore. I'm going to take everybody down with me. Lance and Shauna were my co-conspirators in this. And it cuts to Lance, who just doesn't say anything.
Like, Donna is claiming that Lance said to her, don't give Jordan, my brother's son, any money, quote, because Matt couldn't stand that kid.
Yeah.
Donna, it is so mean.
I know.
What she put Jordan specifically through.
She's a truly, truly sick person.
Like, it's so cruel to do what you did with the will, Donna. I'm talking right to you.
Yeah.
You fucking.
She's probably listening.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll say it to her fucking face.
I know. No, what I'm saying is, like, I'm glad to know she's hearing this.
Yeah, but the thing is, we go through this all the time. It doesn't matter.
I know.
She doesn't give a shit. I'm screaming into the void for no reason.
I know.
Nothing's gonna change. I'm just gonna go home tired. That's all it is. Like, these people don't give a shit.
Yeah.
She is loving the fact that we're spending an hour and a half on her.
Yeah. Yeah, but Donna. it's like, Donna,
what she's doing is mean to Jordan.
Yes, and we see you. Donna, I want you to know we don't believe you.
No.
We don't believe you,
girl. No. Yeah. And so, like, so this is what I mean, where it's like, you don't actually love the person if you're texting them, I love you so much and I'd never hurt you, you're the only thing connecting me to your father, when she's being beyond mean to Jordan, time and time again.
I also want to say, Donna, you did a really stupid thing. You agreed to this documentary because you thought it was going to make you look good. You thought you were going to have your say. Donna, everybody hates you.
Yeah.
You are the villain. In case you didn't know, girl, we are all having the last laugh. You might have gotten away with it, but we know you're awful. We know you're garbage. And we are all laughing at you.
You know why she doesn't give a shit?
Why?
Because all attention is good attention for
her. I know.
She doesn't care. She's thrilled.
I know. Oh my God. Do you think she's cleaning her kitchen while listening to us?
No.
No.
I think she's making some disgusting tequila cake. Whatever the fuck that is. Also, if I wind up dead in a week,
I don't
know who to look for. Bye, Donna.
Bye, Donna.
So let's go back to January 24th, 2015.
Yeah.
It's 5 days after Matt's death. Donna, because now, remember, this is the third part of the documentary. This is Donna's side of the story. Like, we haven't been hearing from her big mouth the entire fucking time.
I know.
She lays it all out.
Lance Reed, let's talk about that. Because no matter whether you believe there was or wasn't, he was involved. He knew the will was fake the whole time it was being probated. Him and his wife sat at my office with me when I made it.
That night, Lance and Shauna met Donna at her office. Lance is telling Donna to make the fake will.
Yes.
Shauna's like, Piper, no. Like, no,
right,
no,
right,
no.
Right. Yeah.
Lance is the one pushing this. And then Donna does it because Donna is absolutely someone who just sits there and does whatever she's told, right? Like, give me a break, Donna.
Lance wants half the money, the tractors, the welders, and Donna says he had me over a barrel because he knew he could tell on me.
To who? Your best friend, the chief of police?
Exactly. And it's like,
Donna.
And finally, thank God, it cuts back to Lance and he's like, none of this is true.
No.
Donna's like, I've got the text messages to prove it. And we get Tanya from the FBI who's like, I reviewed the text messages. They are very out of context. Like, all through the night of the night that she's saying this is happening, she is texting them and they're not responding.
They're call me now, come over. She says, if anything, it shows that Donna was trying to drag Lance and his wife, Shauna, into her crime. But like, she goes, there's really nothing here. It's all circumstantial at best. But so Donna gets 41 months in prison and 3 years of supervised release. And she had to pay like $132,000 to Jordan.
Yeah.
Her sister and brother-in-law had to chip in because they were witnesses. And it's like, where are they? Was Lance, wait. What if Lance and Shauna forced you to do this?
Right. Oh, right.
Then how did your brother, how did your sister and brother-in-law sign as witnesses? Where are they? Donna, girl.
Right.
Shut up.
I know.
So Alex lied about Matthew's phone. So she gets 6 months house arrest, 3 years probation. And Tanya's like, not jail time, but she is a felon now.
I mean, really makes a difference.
Always looking for that silver lining, Tanya.
I know. But that will fuck up your life.
Yeah. Donna is crying.
So what's your relationship with Alex like now?
Very strained. Very strained. Very strained.
Does she still come by the house?
We're not going to talk about that. We will ruin the makeup. We're not going to talk about that. No.
She has a, quote, strained relationship with Alex, which is, translation, Alex has got no contact.
Thank God.
With her incredibly toxic mother.
I mean, imagine if this is the one thing we know about Alex's life, what her life actually was like.
I mean, Donna's the one where it's like, I don't know why my daughter doesn't call me anymore.
I know.
The people that you go no contact with,
they never
have the self-awareness to be like, wow.
What did I do?
What I wonder. But it's always like, well, what did I do? Just what? I loved you too much? What, I was your mother? It's like, oh my God. You're all fucking crazy and we don't miss you.
I know.
When we go no contact, our lives are, I never think about you.
I know.
It's wonderful.
I know.
You're just not my life anymore.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like, delete. Done.
Bye.
Bye. So Jordan got almost all of his dad's estate, the money.
Three houses. He's got three houses, Jordan.
And Jordan's like, you know what, Patrick? I don't give a shit.
I'd
rather have my dad back.
Yep.
Like, he's at peace now because this whole debacle is over. But like, what's three houses when he could be with
when
his dad?
I got my dad.
And like, you know, sort of like he wanted to follow in his dad's line of work and he wanted to, you know, like.
Yeah. I know. I mean, like, that's the tragedy when this happens all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the movie ends with, like, some hope that this film will generate some answers in the deaths of these three people.
Well, it ends with a knock at Donna's door, and it's her probation officer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she thinks it's fucking hilarious.
I know.
So we're at Bryan, Texas, January 2020. Donna self-surrenders to prison. Everyone is still, like, really upset. Like, Jordan has a son now. He named his son after his father, Matt.
Yeah.
And so then we learn, like, because, like, what happened to, what, we'll never know what exactly happened to Matthew.
Right.
We don't know what happened to Jimmy. Do we really know what happened to Lori?
I know.
And Donna's there, like, chuckling and laughing that her probation officer is at the door.
I know.
Like, fuck you.
I know. I know.
And the trauma she did to Jordan.
It's, you just, like, it doesn't make any sense in a world. It's that, like, whole thing of, like, well, then he must be the unluckiest person in the world. If all of these people.
The Scott Peterson effect.
Yeah. Around this guy, Matt, are dead. Like, and that's just a coincidence.
Or around Donna.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, so we learn that after serving 13 months in federal prison, she was granted early release in 2021 thanks to COVID.
Prison was not anything scary. It was perfectly fine. I was perfectly fine. COVID hit. Wasn't a lot to do. I played a lot of cards, read a lot of books.
She played a lot of cards, read a lot of books.
She's the kind of person who would do just fine in prison.
She did very well in prison. There 100. Are people who were in prison with her talking to their therapist about how she manipulated them.
100%.
No question.
Yeah.
And it ends with her not giving a, quote, diddly damn what anyone thinks. Donna?
I know. But you know what? You're right. She doesn't give a diddly damn.
She doesn't. And, like, that's not cute. And
I know
that's, like, a big phrase. Like, she thinks she's adorable. She's not.
She's not.
She's, like, an evil, vindictive, horrifying
because
person.
Because even if she didn't kill those people, which I think she might have, but even if she didn't, she, like, was messing with Jordan, the son of the
right.
dead guy. Like, how fucked up do you have to be?
And before all of this happened, like, if Matt went through with the engagement to the fiance, she was still manipulating him for his money
exactly.
no matter what.
Right.
And then he dumped her daughter and she killed him.
Right.
My opinion.
Right.
Just my opinion. That's all.
Girl, we did, what's it called?
Southern Fried Lies.
Southern Fried Lies. Holy macaroli.
Ugh,
holy macaroni.
Oh, my God.
Fam, join us over on the Patreon. Over 450 full ad-free bonus episodes to download a binge. We're starting Karen Reed very soon. We're finishing up Fox Hollow. We did Scamanda. It was wild. What was the one we did before that? Gabby Petito?
We did Gabby Petito on Netflix. We also did Anatomy of Lies, more about cancer.
I mean, just everything, going back to The Staircase, going back to The Jinx season one and two, all the Scott Peterson.
Like, all the things that have like several episodes.
Yeah, it's all there.
Yep.
Also, we've got a book club. If you want to join the book club, just get in the Facebook group, find the featured post, and you just fill out the Google form. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And you'll be in.
It's very fun.
What do we do next, girl?
Oh my God. Con Mum on Netflix.
Con Mum? What the hell is that?
I have a lot of feelings about it.
Okay.
I have a lot of feelings about it.
Oh my God. All right.
She's someone's mother and she's another horrible mother.
Is it British?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where the mum comes from.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Should we have tea while we do the next one?
No.
Okay. A gin and tonic?
No, gin. No.
That's a British thing. I know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Maybe. We'll consider it.
Maybe.
All right, fam. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Stay safe out there.
Oh, God.
Woof.
If you see Donna, run.
Werewolf.
Werewolf.
She's got businesses all over the world.
We're talking like hundreds of millions.
I remember thinking your life is changing. You're going to have a lot of money.
I wish we'd never received that email. It was the start of something which you never in a million years thought was going to happen.
Thank you, darling.
If I die soon, you're multi-millionaire.
She said, you know, I'm an illegitimate child by the Sultan of Brunei.
Thank you, darling.
Everybody's talking to her like she's their mum.
What? Why is everyone calling mum?
Thank you, darling.
She spoke like 18 languages. Crazy.
He was convinced everything was true.
Who is this woman?
Everything could turn out to be fake.
Why would I not believe her?
Thank you, Danny.
If a grand call don't say nothing. Thank you, Danny.
Where's the proof that she is actually your mom?
He will lose his friends, family, lose everything.
He really longed to feel love.
Which way do you go? Which way?
I do all my power to keep you.